Hey guys, welcome to the Dead Set Legends podcast. I'm Gus Wallen. I'm here with Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor.
It's your grand final day, big fella.
This
How excited
Christmas.
Are you?
It's absolute Christmas today, particularly the lead-in with the prelim beforehand and then just get to sit down and watch the AFL grand final against the two best teams in the AFL this year.
For you, South Sydney just too good?
Yeah, Manly got their asses smacked, and then that's just what happened last night. South were just too good. Too strong through the middle. One thing about Manly, we'll talk about it later, is they didn't have to change what they were doing. When they play the bigger sides, the sides that are above them, they just seem to not stick to the process.
Yeah, they were certainly too good last night, the South Sydney Rabbitohs, and they are sitting there waiting now for Penrith or the Storm. Dell, last night, it was just too big, too strong, too often, South Sydney?
Yeah, they were. Look, I think what's worked for South over the last month, look, I still can't believe this is the same South side that's been beaten by 50 points twice this year.
Yeah. And no Latrell.
Yeah, no Latrell, but only a Wayne Bennett sort of coach side could just not worry about that sort of stuff. And then the belief in the last month has been unbelievable. But you know, I think as Adam Reynolds said last night, and Damien Cook, you know, post-match when Gordy Tellis interviewed him, like they never doubted what they were doing. And that's the confidence that Wayne instills in you. But also that playing group, they just look like such a happy playing group. And then those young players are playing their role. But I reckon it's a good mix of, you know, the balance of players between, you know, Blake Tough, you know,
what just a to pass. I mean, Dan caught it, undefendable. Mate. That was an amazing pass for a guy who had dropped a couple of balls before that. Like, his confidence must be incredible.
Well, it wasn't so much dropping the ball. I just think with Adam Reynolds' injury in the warm-up, their timing in the back line was out a little bit too because, you know, I don't know if people who didn't see it or didn't hear about it, Adam Reynolds, thought it might have been a quad, but it was an abductor or a groin. And so he didn't kick for the first 20, 30 minutes,
and he didn't kick for goal at all.
No, he didn't. So for a young player to take that sort of pressure, you know, his second final game, I think his seventh game, that's the confidence. And, you know, what can I just say this? It was Cody Walker-like. When he got that pass and it was just in front of his face, he's just tapped it along. That's not easy to do. The best players in the game have done that over the years. You know, you got your Billy Slaters and all these guys, your Darren Lockies can do that play. For Blake Taft to do that was unbelievable. Manly saved one of their worst performances for the season. Mate, respect to what they've done because the first month of the comp, they were coming last.
Yeah.
They were no chance.
I want to ask you about Cameron Murray's game because he's like effort. And he obviously led the team with post-contact meters, 70 meters. He was just on fire last night.
Well, I think what Cam Murray does for you too, he gives you two or three different sort of avenues to go. Look, you want a quick play of the ball. He gets his body in between. He's obviously so strong through his hips, but his leg drive's good. But his sort of vision too, the way that he plays. And, you know, he took Jake Trbojevic out of the game. But I think, you know, I think that last night, I think MG and Dan Ganane gave man of the match to Damien Cook. But I thought Cam Murray, he was like a 9 out of 10. Everything he did was class. And also the one percenters. Mate, Manly weren't even winning the one percenters. Like, you know, I think once... Adam Reynolds' first kick went up, and who was there? Cam Murray. He was there tapping it back, and they score off that play. But just some of the tries that, you know, the Bunnies scored, people going, oh, look, I'm not sure if the Bunnies can score on that. Like, last night, I know Manly, you know, for me, I'm just disappointed that Manly, they just try to change the way they were playing. I know they were playing a side that was above them. They haven't beaten too many of the bigger sides. And sometimes when you don't want to listen to what people are saying, but, you know, Ryan Girdler said it last week that they were flat-track bullies. Mm. I'm not sure if people are going to his coffee shop.
I mean, they haven't beat a third, second or first place side. Yeah. But what about at 12-0? Tommy gets over the line. They got over twice by that time.
Yeah, they did. They did.
And I know that the first try, it's a great rugby league try, but the literal law, it's no try. Okay, so they do score a try. Yeah. Tommy drops the ball.
Yes.
That would have been 12-6. All of a sudden, 5 minutes later, it's 18-0, then 22-0.
Yep.
Half time comes. If at 12-6, can they turn it around then?
Of course they can. 12-6.
Just that little moment.
Yeah, it's a little moment that gives you confidence. But you know what? It's a bridge too far to, you know, to go over to, you know, it's you're just going, mate, why are we in this position? Because you know what? They weren't doing the little things right. You know, they weren't winning the collision. They were trying to go expansive rather than go through the middle. Mm. And you know what? When Parker was obviously injured too in the captain's run, I said Sully is a very good attacking player, but in defense he gets lost. There was one time on the left-hand side, he had eyes for Taff, which I can understand. But then once he'd done that, look all outside over. That. Yeah, there's options out wide.
Wayne talked a lot about the stability of the team, blokes knowing their roles, knowing what's expected of them in the press conference. How telling will that be in the GF?
Well, I think that's what Wayne knows. Look, look, whether they play Melbourne or Penrith, Wayne knows if you get your defence right, look at last night. Like, I mean, Manly scored a couple of those tries at the end. It was already done and dusted.
Yeah.
And I just think that attitude, you know, the edge back rowers, the front row, they led from the front. And look at Damien Cook. He just had his way with Manly for a lot of that game. He just did whatever he wanted to. You have to get them on the back foot so Cook doesn't get out. Once Cook doesn't get out, he doesn't get those quick play of the balls. Once he gets quick play of the balls, it was just too easy. And Adam Reynolds, and then once his leg warmed up, the kicks were going and he's doing whatever he wanted, and you could just see a really happy side. And, oh, mate, I don't believe in fairy tales, but
okay,
geez.
Stop. Don't say it. Yeah. Please don't say it.
All right, boys, there's been a lot going on in the union lately, so let's have a chat to the expert himself, Tim Horan.
Our next guest is recognised as the greatest centre rugby union's ever seen. His electrifying pace, rock-solid defence and playmaking ability forged an 11-year career in the sport, earning him 30 tries, 2 Rugby World Cup victories and 80 caps for Australia. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2005 and will go down in history as one of the Wallabies' best ever performers. Please welcome Dead Set legend, Tim Horan.
Yes, Tim Horan's on the line. Good morning to you, Tim.
Morning, boys. Yeah, I'm glad you got my intro that I wrote for you.
We wanted to pump you up, mate, but it's pretty easy to do that with someone like yourself. And can you believe 1991 is 30 years ago, mate, when you won the World Cup? Incredible.
Oh, it's amazing. I actually had a bite to eat with Michael Liner, who's out in Australia for a few weeks, and we were talking about it through the week, and it doesn't seem like 30 years ago. It seems like probably 10 years ago, but yeah, amazing, and hopefully it help put rugby on the map in Australia.
Tim, what about Michael's son being named in the extended England squad under Eddie Jones?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? He's got one boy, Tom, who's going to be playing for the Queensland Reds. He's only 18 years of age, so he mightn't play next year, but the year after. But and Lewis, his other son. I think Eddie Jones has sort of grabbed him, and knowing Eddie as well as I do, and Wendell, I'm sure you do as well, but I reckon Eddie will just put him on there for 30 seconds and then claim him. He's cut one test cap and he can't play anywhere else.
Yeah. Hey, mate, I've got to ask you about the series against South Africa. Obviously, they were the favourites up there in Brisbane. And, mate, we play so well in Brisbane, but even the style of rugby that we played, Taniela Tupou down that left hand side, mate, it was
good.
Like the no look pass. I mean, he could have looked, but, mate, how good did he go?
It was fantastic, wasn't it, Del? And I think, you know, what Dave Rennie and the coaching staff are trying to do is play this open, expansive, entertaining brand of rugby so the fans enjoy it. But you still got to win the match as well, so they understand that. And, you know, and I think now, Del, you know, when you go around Australia and do a few little coaching clinics and things, people are starting to understand, and the kids are starting to identify, I want to be like Taniela Tupou, I want to be like Michael Hooper, I want to be like, you know, Quade Cooper and or Marika, you know. So the great thing about it, you've got to have some idols to look up to, and the Wallabies are producing that. They're obviously moved to number 3 in the world and up against Argentina tonight.
Yeah, cannot wait. I feel, Tim, and I'm wondering if you agree with us, that you've missed a trick a little bit, rugby, I mean, by not having all of Sunday to yourself, because it's such a busy day today with the rugby league and then obviously the AFL grand final. You could have had that double header starting at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, both games, and had us all with all eyeballs on it. Do you think that rugby missed a trick there?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I was talking about it last night. I had a bite to eat with David Campese. We're obviously both up in Townsville. And you know, I think it's obviously the six-day turnaround. But even though, you know, we had a six-day turnaround in the first series when they played on the Gold Coast, then moved to Suncorp Stadium. So I don't know why. It must have been some sort of scheduling with, obviously, whether it's the All Blacks or the Springboks. But yeah, it's a shame because you could have had it all tomorrow on Sunday in Townsville and more eyeballs. But anyway, the diehard fans will, I'm sure, switch on.
Yes.
Can you describe, I guess, the feeling in the Wallabies camp at the moment with the confidence that they're getting with the style of play that they're producing? I mean, we're playing some of the best football that we've done in the last, you know,
couple of years.
Yeah. What sort of confidence would this be giving under Dave Rennie's team?
Yeah, Jude, I think they've got a really good squad together. You look at, there's a few players that aren't in the team that, you know, are trying to fight their way back in. Hunter Paisami, who's a centre. You know, the guy called Len Iketau, who's at 13, scored 2 tries last week. And I just think it's a really good vibe. And, you know, you've got to, and Dell would understand this, 2 years out from a Rugby World Cup, you really got to start putting a line in the sand and making sure you've got a wide squad that all these players can come through, and there's good competitiveness in the team to be able to, you know, make that 15-man team to play them. and the curtain raiser. Can't wait for that. The All Blacks and the Springboks. You know, the 100th test match between them. And obviously, be a good trivia question, won't it, down the track? Where'd they play their 100th test match?
Yeah. Hey, what about Argentina? We know they play that expansive rugby style. What do you make of their squad?
It's not too bad, Del. Murray Ledesma, who's the coach, and he's obviously got Michael Checker there as well, the former Wallaby coach, helping out. They've got a good young team, and they're trying to build this team. They've made a few changes. They've got some younger players in. They've got a guy called Santiago Carreras at fly half, who a young player, and they need to bring these younger players through for the World Cup. So they're trying to rebuild their team. A couple of big losses against the All Blacks, which, you know, can happen to any team, as we've seen. But it'll be a tough one for the Wallabies tonight.
It's just been fantastic what you guys have been doing on Stan, the way that you're doing the pre-match and the after-match and the half-time, and it's just been really, really refreshing, mate. So thank you so much for joining us, and have a wonderful night tonight with the doubleheader. And now, boys, it's time for our brand-new segment, the DSL Judiciary. The big question we'd like your opinion on, boys, today is, you're an eyewitness to a crime. A man has robbed a bank, but instead of keeping the money for himself, he donates it to a poor orphanage that can now afford to feed, clothe and care for its children. You know who committed the crime. If you go to the authorities with the information, there's a good chance the money will be returned to the bank, leaving the kids in need. What do you do?
I tell you what I do. I do not go and report this bloke. You know, if he's given the money to the kids, the banks, they're greedy, they're selfish, they only care about themselves. So I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to be like the Black Robin Hood. I'm going to help him. I'm going to help him take from the rich and give to the poor.
I disagree. I completely disagree.
Can we just, that's beautiful, by the way.
It was.
Well played. That was like a politician making a statement. I'm voting for you for that.
Our Prince of Thieves over there.
However,
I disagree.
Mr. Bolton.
I would be straight down the line and say, no, you've committed the crime, but then you take it and absolutely publicise the hell out of it and get corporate Australia to come in and whatever the amount was meant to go there, we're going to try and triple it and actually have a bigger impact and actually put that criminal where he needs to be.
I don't think he's a criminal because what he's done...
He robbed a bank.
But he didn't rob a bank and then go to Vegas or go and do and, you know...
Strippers and stuff
and whatever.
He
saw a need. Beautiful children. Look at their little eyes. Just imagine their little eyes looking up at you, Jude.
Mum and Dad.
Eyes looking up at you. And you're going, no, you can't. You can't have that bit of food. Take that clothes off because someone has done the right thing. Right. And you want corporate Australia to come in.
Corporate Australia don't care. Australia don't care.
If they cared, they would have already fixed it up.
That's exactly right.
Absolute crap. No, you could make such a bigger impact in a just and rightful way.
No, I don't. What would you do? Talk to me.
I'm with you.
Big fella.
Yeah. Like, obviously, vote one Wendell Saylor. Yeah, that's what I'm saying at the moment. I'm surprised at you. And I'm just, you know what? I'm not angry. I'm disappointed.
I'm disgusted. I'm actually disgusted.
You know what? You and your silver platter over in the northern beaches there, you don't care about the poor.
Yes, he does.
Wow. So you and I are good guys. Jude, give yourself an uppercut. Honestly, you know what? Sling your hook, mate. On your bike. We'll see you next week. Yeah. There you go. Send in your DSL judiciary questions and we'll answer another one next week.
He starred on everything from Dancing with the Stars to The Masked Singer. You name the show, he's made an appearance. He's even promised to one day set up his own TV network. So, in the spirit of television, today we bring you the Wendelly M Awards, the only NRL awards that truly count. Presented by the true voice of reason, Wendell Saylor.
Yes, that's a beautiful opener, and that's exactly what you're about, big fella. And we want to get your fullback of the year to start the ball rolling.
Yeah, well, these are my awards. I know people go, the good thing about these awards, these are my awards. I'm a three-time premiership player, obviously in 11 final series.
Yeah.
I've been a part of 11 final series, so I think I'm...
Rugby as well?
Oh, yeah, look, this is not about that, but
number five.
Let me go.
Greatest winger of all time?
Oh, no, mate, Brett Morris. Is it Brett Morrison here?
I think you were the one that got that.
Oh, I don't care about that. Hey, let's talk about the current players, okay?
Okay, fullback of the year, brother.
Okay, well, congratulations. This will surprise you. Turbo.
Yeah.
Mate, just in front of Tedesco, Teddy's had a good year, but Turbo went to a whole new level this year. Okay, on the wings, Alex Johnston. Mate, he's on one of my wings. On the other wing, mate, you're going to love this. Okay. Jason Saab.
Oh, you didn't go for Adokar.
No.
Fair enough.
Mate, Saab's had such a wonderful year. Obviously, you know, scoring tries at will. Slow start. In the centres, oh, I don't know how they didn't get this right, but my centres, Justin Olam.
Yep.
Okay, and Joseph Manu.
Yeah.
But Manu can play anywhere, but like when you took the best things in the game, yeah, he can float, okay? Yeah. At 5'8", Cody Walker, his try assists have been unbelievable this year. Halfback, look, I'm giving it to Nathan Cleary, but I reckon Jerome Hughes has been outstanding.
Yeah.
I was going to go Jerome Hughes, but I just think Nathan Cleary.
He wouldn't let anyone down, would he?
No, and even with a busted shoulder. My props, Christian Walsh and Payne Haas.
Nice.
Yes. Okay. My back rowers, Keon Matangi. I think he's been sensational this year. And I know this is people going to be going, oh mate, what? Angus Crichton for me. Crichton, mate. He is going back to his season's best. I know. I think he got suspended for a month.
He got suspended and had a few injuries and stuff. He missed the start of Origin, but yeah, he's unbelievable.
But I think most of the season he went to a new level. And at lock, Cam Murray. I know there's been some good locks around this year.
Isaiah,
he's been good too.
Jack Trbojevic has been good.
Yeah, he's been good. He has been good. But just Cam Murray, just everything that he does is class. He doesn't have too many bad games, and he can change a game up. Look at his skill set last night. It's not just because of last night I picked him, but I just like the way that Cam Murray carries himself
as well. His State of Origin series, incredible.
Recency bias there.
Yeah, a little bit. What about Hooker?
There's only one number nine. Brandon Smith. Yeah. Mate, he works well with Harry Grant. And people are just going, wouldn't you pick them two together? Like, no, not really, because Harry Grant, he's a good bench player at the moment. I know he's a starting player, but they're going to have to work something out because I reckon that's a waste. You've got two world-class number nines, you know, working together. So one of those guys is going to have to move on, and it's probably going to be Brandon Smith.
It's a very solid team there, Del. What about your player of the year overall?
Oh, look, I think Turbo's going to get it just in front of Nathan Cleary and Cody Walker.
Okay.
Top three.
Coach of the year?
Has to be Craig Bellamy.
What he's done at the Storm.
Unbelievable.
After Exodus.
I know, Cam Smith.
What about Bennett? What about Robbo? They must have taken him close.
Robbo? No, not so much. Right, Robbo did a good job with that. No.
He had the Bears for the last half of the season.
Okay, I get that. But, like, I think for Craig Bellamy to win the premiership last year, and obviously Cameron Smith just a week or two before the season starts, mate, we all knew that Cam Smith wasn't going to play, but they played that well. And just to take their game to a new level, them as a team, Melbourne Storm, they've evolved so well and they've gone to a whole new level.
Okay, Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year. Look, there was a couple in the mix there, but I have to give it to Reece Walsh because the Warriors were really inconsistent. I know young Walker had a really good year, but he played a little bit on the bench and in a couple of games they targeted him.
Yep.
And also Dane Laurie, I thought, had a good season as well. So special mention.
If he hadn't got injured, you reckon he probably might not have got through it? What about Captain of the Year?
Well, it's the Storm boys, Dale Finucane and Jesse Bromwich, the co-captains.
Entertainer of the Year.
Oh, look, I've got two people here, Brian Tutto and Toby Rudolph.
Yeah.
I think, you know, he's a scallywag, mate. He's
the WWF.
Yes.
Beautiful.
No, that was Braden.
That was the best try celebration, which is the next question.
Yes. Braden Ueli there.
That was
the WWF. So that was really good. That was well done.
And last one, grubbiest player of the year.
I don't like grubbiest player of the year because rugby league's a tough game.
Okie dokie. And that's it for the Dead Set Legends podcast. You can catch us live on the radio every Saturday from 10 a.m. on 104.9 Triple M.